Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gabber.io. Today we have Ryan. Ryan is the founder of Kitcaster. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mustafa. It's wonderful to be here. I really appreciate the invitation.
So a brief background about yourself, you know, what you've been doing prior to Kitcaster, then we'll take a deep dive into Kitcaster.
Absolutely. So I owned a media and marketing agency for the last 10 years here in Denver, Colorado. With my wife, we really specialized in crowdfunding campaigns, as well as kind of validating new products. In COVID, we were largely kind of leveraged by hospitality and food and beverage, and it kind of killed that business. So Kitcaster was teed up. I'd been working on it probably 6 months at the time. And that, out of necessity, became my full-time job. So we dove into Kitcaster, and we've been off to the races ever since.
Oh, okay. Congratulations on Kitcaster, and sorry about the previous one, but COVID has been kind of like uncertain for everyone. So, but it's a good thing, you know, you've taken the leap into Kitcaster. How's the journey so far? How's it going?
It's going really well. So, you know, Kitcaster is a podcast booking agency. We specialize in funded startup founders and successful entrepreneurs, and we book them on top podcasts. The podcasts we're booking on are generally Apple Podcasts Top 100 categorically. So they have audiences of 10,000 or greater, sometimes much greater. Being a founder myself and entrepreneur myself, I thought that there would be a market there only because I know founders love talking about their projects. So we were kind of fishing for it and we were able to find it. So beginning in March, we started seeing kind of 20% month over month growth. We took our team from 2 to 11, now sitting here in November. So we've had exponential growth very quickly. So which has been great. And I really am thankful for the success for sure. But, you know, maybe other folks that are maybe doing pretty good. And during COVID, there is kind of a interesting guilt associated with that because obviously people are suffering. But Kitcaster is doing very well.
All right. Glad to hear that. So what's the model like? Is it a SaaS model? Is it like a service model? So can you elaborate more on that? And then we'll get down to the marketing, digital marketing, COVID things.
You bet. So it's a done-for-you service. So we're really kind of an old school agency where we have butts in seats and we make phone calls and emails, you know, to connect podcast guests, our clients, to the hosts. We also have a SaaS product, which is a kind of a podcast booking platform that we're developing as a beta. We've got a couple hundred folks there, essentially doing what we do only through a platform. I'm calling that the podcast guest list at this point, which is kind of invitation only beta, but probably in 2021, we'll spin that off into its own branding.
Oh, nice. The need for digital marketing and podcast has kind of like accelerated during COVID. So we've done more than 300 episodes in our podcast, and you know, but yes, it has accelerated. But we've also started to noticing that because everyone is creating so much content out there, the attention spam has started decreasing. So do you agree with that? And then how to make them more clenching on? You know, so.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that too. You know, statistics early on where podcasts were flat. I mean, they're maybe up 7%. So I think where podcasts might have lost some attention share was in the commutes. You know, people would pop in a podcast while they're sitting in traffic. And so you lost a lot of that time, I think, with podcasting. So, you know, people picking it up when they're, I don't know, doing their laundry or washing the dishes. Competition is fierce though. You know, I think it's only going to get stronger. You know, I think we're probably only at maybe 10% of what podcasting is going to be. It seems to be very unique. Audiobooks or, you know, also share this space of like transition time where people, you're not engaging with the content with your eyes or with your hands. Rather, it's just kind of in your ears. And you know, the more busy our lives are, the more we're going to find ourselves in these transition spaces, whether it's, you know, at the gym, getting ready for work, driving to work, commuting, then, you know, there's going to be more need for this kind of content. So I hate to say it, but I think the attention share is going to just get even more stratified. You know, one thing that we've found that the podcasts that we work with, and we're working with maybe 4,000 different podcasts, and we have an interesting kind of view of which podcast becomes successful. And it really seems like people that focus specifically on kind of one conversation with a lot of different people, you know, podcasts like yours where they have guests, but the ones maybe they niche down not only in business, but in marketing, and not only in marketing, but in, you know, restaurant, and not only in restaurant, but maybe, you know, SEO for restaurant. And then they're building audiences that, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people, but you're getting into a situation where you're kind of creating an army of Spartans, you know, where you have people that really tune in to get those resources and you can convert them rather well. So, you know, we're always on the lookout for niche podcasts that have a rabid audience. And I think there's still plenty of room for folks to do that.
Got it. Makes sense. So being a marketer for some time now, so what advice would you give to these young startup founders or young entrepreneurs to how to go about it, how to growth hack? You know, growth hack is becoming more and more of a buzzword, or do you agree with that or not? Or how to growth hack their way towards productivity?
Absolutely. So maybe speaking to a new entrepreneur or somebody who's spinning off kind of an idea, their side hustle, trying to go full time, that kind of position.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a couple of mistakes I made many times when I was getting going. I have a couple of suggestions for somebody new who's starting out. One, find a place where you can prioritize your ideas. I think what all entrepreneurs have in common is they have lots of ideas, and there becomes a feeling of like, how do I hold all this? And you feel maybe viscerally in your brain, you're trying to hold the idea so you don't lose it. So put that down. Now, what I do is I use a Trello board, and I put all my ideas in a Trello board, and then I prioritize them left to right. So furthest left is what I'm working on and where I can put notes. And particularly in the beginning, you just got to get a lot of place for all these ideas that come to you in the middle of the night, dump them there so you don't feel like you have to obsess on them. And then you're going to prioritize those. So I've simplified my ideas that for me to work on something with my time, because we only have so much time and then we're done. So, you know, with that time, which is precious, you know, there's three qualifiers that allow me to work on something. One, it has to be fun. If it's not fun, I'm just generally not going to want to do it, you know, so I'll end up convincing myself I have something else better to do, but really it's just not fun, so I'm not going to do it. So it has to be fun. Two, it has to be of service. You know, it's important to me that I'm helpful to other people. And I think that finding meaning in our work is a very American idea. It's born into our country where it's like, you know, who you are is what you do. And if what you're doing isn't helping other people, it's hard to feel great about your work. So being of service is really important to me. And then the third thing is it's got to make money. So we're going to have to figure out a way to be profitable real fast, because otherwise I'm going to end up sitting in my closet writing love songs for hour after hour after hour, because that's what I like to do. It's not going to make me any money, unfortunately. So that's going to weed things out. So as you're kind of putting stuff on your Trello board, if you wanted to use those three qualifiers, you know, what are the ideas that are going to make me money, be of service, and be fun? Those slide all the way to the left. So now you have kind of a prioritized idea hierarchy that can kind of point you in the right direction and maybe eliminate some things that you've been thinking about. You know, sometimes we get these cool ideas and we kind of become obsessed with them. But if you recognize really early on that, like, I'm not going to make money on this, get it over to the right on your ideas list. You know, don't get rid of it, but leave it there, but just don't prioritize it so you can keep focused on the things that are going to be meaningfully impactful in your business.
Got it. Makes sense. So, which brings me down to my last question, you know, as a founder, we're all learning to work remotely, right? So many have been doing it before, many have not been doing it before. So what three productivity hacks that you've developed for yourself that are helping you work betterly as remote?
You know, one would be adherence to a calendar and a schedule. You know, I live and die on my calendar. If it's there, it'll get done. If it's not there, who knows? So I put everything on my calendar from 5 a.m. to 9:30. It's all scripted out. That keeps me connected and focused on the tasks that need to be at hand. Two, I keep pretty good tabs on my diet. I'm working at the office today, but often I'm working at home. Maybe I spent years working at home. And I can tell you, the gravity of the refrigerator will get you. So... for me, I have opportunities to go eat. I give myself some healthy snacks, some crunchy snacks. I like carrots and apples, you know. So making sure my diet is connected is important. Also, I think the third would be connecting with friends and family on a regular basis outside of work hours. You know, that's just phones, whether it's just checking in or saying hi or just, you know, goofing off. Making some calls, you know, and what I'll find myself doing is scrolling through my phone, my text messages. So, you know, there's probably 20 or 30 people, you know, really that I want to keep tabs on. So I'll scroll through and go see who I haven't texted since July, you know, and just drop them a call. So not only does it, I think, influence my workday by scheduling time to connect with friends, but it also just helps you keep loose. You know, the one big thing that people face, I think, that could be overwhelming when you're working remote is loneliness. So connecting to other people and maybe experiencing their loneliness together, you know, make it a blues song or something. You sing about it to each other a little bit so that you feel better. So that's what I would recommend. You know, be on the calendar, keep your diet together, and call your buddies.
All right. Makes sense. Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm sure we could have talked for another half an hour, but, you know, due to our marketing constraints, we have to keep them short and precise.
I appreciate that. Mustafa, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.